I'm John Moe. This week, Wits is in Austin, Texas, with one of the all-time greats of comedy, actor Fred Willard. Who can forget his work in those Christopher Guest comedies like Waiting for Guffman, A Mighty Wind, and Best in Show, where he played a dog show commentator.
In fact, the first night I got there, I said to Christopher, I said, have there been a lot of Shih Tzu jokes? And he said no, and I said, well, there will be tomorrow.
Fred and I find the inspiration for Abbott and Costello's most famous routine.
Well, then who's on first?
Lou Gehrig.
I mean the fella's name.
Lou Gehrig?
The guy on first.
Lou, am I speaking loud enough? Plus real Austin music from Shiny Ribs.
I swear she screams, Shiny Ribs! Shiny Ribs!
And Kerry Rodriguez.
Devil in mind, devil in mind. Everybody got a little devil in mind. Devil in mind, stealing you blind. Everybody got a little devil in mind.
All on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, and KUT 90.5 and KUTX 98.9, this is Wits coming to you from the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas. I'm John Moe. I'm your host for the program, and I would like to share some of my beliefs with you. I believe that everyone should be in a band, and that if you can't find a band, the government should assign you one. I believe Austin is the only city in America where this actually happens. I believe there should be a cowboy movie that takes place in Austin, but it's present-day Austin, and all the cowboys are kind of languid and bookish, like tertiary Richard Linklater movie characters. When I was a kid, I had a friend named Austin who was from Austin, and I believe no amount of Googling will ever get me back in touch with that guy. I believe in the beauty of the bluebonnet flowers here in Austin, many of which were planted as part of an effort by Lady Bird Johnson. And I believe it is remarkable that someone as powerful as Lyndon Johnson married a Lady Bird, and everyone was okay with that. I believe Austin's South by Southwest Festival will always be better attended than my own Minnesota-based festival, North by North Middle, which is just me sitting on my couch hoping I have the right wristband to get into my kitchen. I believe in the quality of films produced in Austin, like Office Space, Slacker, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I believe I would thoroughly enjoy a sequel that combines all three of these movies. I believe if someone made a cowboy hat out of macrame in reggae colors, they would make $1 billion in Austin, Texas. I believe that the Ann W. Richards Congress Avenue Bridge is home to 1.5 million bats, making it a perfect tourist attraction if you want to never stop screaming for the rest of your life. I believe Governor Ann Richards commanded these bats, and they did her bidding. She was like the Aquaman of bats. I believe that if you think of Texas's four big cities, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin, it is obvious that Austin is George Harrison. I believe that since Austin's Lance Armstrong has been banned from cycling for life, that if you ever see him on a bike, you must push him off and then say no very firmly. Civic duty. I believe that no one person has ever driven across the state of Texas. Some have tried, but after several years, they marry, they have families. Their kids grow up and continue the drive, and then they get older, their kids take over. And even then, the whole family has gotten as far as, like, Midland. It's a big state. We got a great show for you. Music guests Shiny Ribs and Kerry Rodriguez are here. With us this week, one of the giants in American comedy. Not literally, he's not all that tall, but what an amazing career he has had and is having. Fernwood Tonight, This is Spinal Tap, Waiting for Guffman, Anchorman, Modern Family. I could go on and on and on. Such an honor to have him. Fred Willard, welcome back to Wits.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We're in Austin, Texas, and is it right that you filmed Waiting for Guffman right here in Austin?
Oh, yes, I do. We filmed some of it out in Lockhart, and a gymnasium right downtown here, and I had a great time. It was my first time in Austin.
Was that your first Christopher Guest movie?
Yes, it was. The first one I did with Christopher was Spinal Tap, but he didn't direct it. That was Rob Reiner, but that's where I met Christopher.
I always wonder what the creative environment is like on one of those Christopher Guest movies. Like, is there a script? Are there strict rules, or is it just complete pandemonium?
No, it's a script. It's an outline of a script, and Christopher will tell you what the situation is, and he'll just say action. And you know, you are working with working with Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy and Bob Balaban, people like that, and Christopher himself, you just jump in like jumping into the river and start to swim. So it comes naturally. You don't try to top anybody. You try to keep the story moving. And occasionally Christopher will say, okay, let's move on. I'll say, is that funny? And he'll say, no, but let's move on.
You've done a bunch of these now, and like in Waiting for Guffman, it's more of an ensemble. You're there with all the other actors, but then a lot of people like must come up to you on the street and quote you lines from Best in Show when you're the commentator at the dog show.
Oh.
And I understand that you filmed all those kind of separate from everything else that was going on. That was
So we got there too. We did that in Vancouver, and I got there about 4 days before the end of the movie, and everyone was singing Christmas songs. It was about Christmas time. I felt I was part of a rap party for a movie I hadn't been in. But they showed us film of what we would have supposedly seen, which dogs. And then the next day they put us out there, and they said, okay, now here's where you see this dog, where you see that. And so we just went for about 4 or 5 hours, and I figured most of this won't end up in the movie, so I'll pull out every bad joke I can think of. In fact, the first night I got there, I said to Christopher, I said, have there been a lot of Shih Tzu jokes? And he said no. And I said, well, there will be tomorrow.
I've been impressed. I mean, I looked at your IMDb page when we were getting ready for this show, and so much on there. And I'm impressed by how you cross so many generations of comedy. You were on Get Smart and Laverne and Shirley and The Love Boat. But then you're on Comedy Bang Bang and Birthday Boys and these very new comedy shows. And I think you're the only guy who kind of does both those worlds. How do you do it?
I don't know. I've always been a fan of comedy. I sincerely am a fan. People just have seen me in different things. I think it comes from a lot of the Jay Leno sketch shows I did, the sketches. I was always his crazy go-to guy with a drink in my hand. Or the Christopher Guest movies were very instrumental in doing that. The little kids, I was on Wizards of Waverly Place, and constantly little kids are saying, oh, were you on Wizards of Waverly Place? I said, yes. And WALL-E, which was a very... I was the first live person to appear in the Pixar movie. And it was a wonderful, if you have kids, let them go see it, because it's a great inspiration for young people to know we've got to save the Earth's resources. They don't realize they're getting that message till years later. You've got to conserve what we have.
And then you recently had an arc on a daytime soap opera, The Bold and the Beautiful, which was very unexpected to me. How did that come about?
I'm not quite sure. The people who were saw me in a show I was doing, Enter Laughing. We had a stage reading of a play, Enter Laughing, which was written by Carl Reiner. And Carl was there, and Rob Reiner, and these people came, and they saw me. Then they called, and they said, would you like to be on The Bold and the Beautiful? And I laughed. And then I said, wait a second, I've always wanted to be on a soap opera. And I said, yes, and I will. But unfortunately, the first day I went out, I pulled into the gate at the studio, I said, I'm Fred Willard, I'm here to do The Bad and the Beautiful. And he said, I think you mean The Bold and the Beautiful. I said, oh yes, what was I thinking? But I did, and I won a Daytime Emmy just recently. And it was just
congratulations. Fred Willard, everybody.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, that's...
When it comes to radio comedy history, Wits is full-on Ken Burns about it. Our researchers are always unearthing historical precedent for classic old-timey bits. We found the closet that inspired Fibber McGee and Molly, and we interviewed the great-grandson of the duck from You Bet Your Life. And now, we present, this week only, the radio interview between baseball manager Joe McCarthy and a reporter that inspired Abbott and Costello.
Chip Chester here with Joe McCarthy, manager of the 1938 New York Yankees. Thanks for joining me, Joe.
My pleasure, Chip.
Now, if you're the manager, you must know all the players.
Oh, I certainly do.
Now, is it true that they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names, funny names, strange names?
Well, that depends on your threshold for that sort of thing, I guess. Let's see who we have on the bags. I have Lou Gehrig on first, Joe Gordon on second, and Red Rolfe on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you the manager?
Yes.
And you don't know the fellas' names?
I do know them. I told you them.
Well, then who's on first?
Lou Gehrig.
I mean the fellas' name.
Lou Gehrig?
The guy on first.
Am I speaking loud enough? Lou Gehrig is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
I know. I'm answering you. I promise Lou Gehrig is the man's name.
That's whose name?
Lou Gehrig's.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Did you hit your head on the way in here?
When you pay your first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Are you trying to trick me into telling you the thing I'm telling you? Because you don't have to do that. I'm telling you over and over again.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
One time, my uncle had a swelling in his brain that made it so he couldn't take in new information.
I'm not asking you who's on second. One base at a time.
That wasn't even what I was... This could be very serious. Are you having double vision, blurred vision, nausea? Tell me, who's the president of the United States?
Lou Gehrig?
No, he's on first base. What's the name of our current president?
Joe Gordon.
No, he's my second baseman. The president, can you tell me his name?
I don't know. Red Rolfe?
Third base. Look, I think you need some help. Do you have a physician I should contact?
Yes.
What's his name?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
No, I'm asking, is his name Dr. Watford Yes, spelled Y-E-S-S, also known as Watt to his friends?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I go to the same doctor.
Doctors these days have such peculiar names, funny names, strange names.
I never thought about it before, but now that you mention it, they sure do.
That's the name of your shortstop.
You have a concussion.
I think you're right.
And he was, a concussion that contributed to comedy history in ways we're still figuring out. This has been a presentation of the Wits History Foundation. More with Fred Willard, Shiny Ribs, and Carrie Rodriguez coming up. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with actor Fred Willard and music guests Carrie Rodriguez and Shiny Ribs, which is a guy also known as Kevin Russell, as well as being a band that includes Kevin Russell. Kevin and the band have put out 3 critically acclaimed albums, and when I told friends that we were taking our show to Austin, a chorus rose up, lots of people telling me all at once, you have to get Shiny Ribs. I listened to the music, and I agreed. Here is Shiny Ribs.
It's for all my friends down in Southeast Texas. They ain't got no casinos in Texas, you know, so Gotta go over to Louisiana if you won't get rich like them people in Louisiana. Take me little Charles, I can win $100. Buy some milk and mashed potatoes. Maybe buy you some flowers. I lost my license when Rita came ashore. Trying to help my sister, I dropped it on the floor. I can feel it in my bones. I'll have to change my name to Savings and Loan. So take me Lake Charo. Take me Lake Charo. Take me Lake Charo. Take me Lake Charo. Winfield, you're driving now. To my name, my cousin come to get me in the drizzling rain. State 10 is a crawling with the law. Them Louisiana state troopers, they never sleep. They got a nasty disposition and they target the free. So take me Lake Charo.
Shiny ribs. Kevin Russell, welcome to Wits.
Hey, it's good to be here. Good to be here.
The name Shiny Ribs is compelling and also kind of gross. what does it come from?
It comes from a transient woman used to live out where I used to live out southwest part of town, Oak Hill area. And she was always out there with a sign and a smile. And one day, it was one of those South by Southwest weeks, I think. I had a big bucket of barbecue from a party that nobody was going to eat. I didn't want it to go to waste, you know. So I had it in my passenger seat. The seatbelt sign was going off because I had to buckle the barbecue in. And so I came over, and I was sick of barbecue, so I handed it to her, and I said, here you go. The light was changing as I was giving it to her, and she screamed. I swear she screamed, "Shattered ribs! Shattered ribs!" Yeah, so...
can't ignore that moment, really.
No, and from then on, she called me Shattered Ribs whenever she seen me.
I love this story so much that I don't care if it's true or not, but you started in music after finding a guitar under your dad's bed?
Yes, my dad played guitar, and he had a bunch of old guitars, and, you know, I was always too intimidated to ask him to teach me what he knew, and so luckily my mom noticed that I'd sat in my room all day with one of those two-string guitars making noise, and when my dad got home from work, she's like, you might want to go ask that boy if he wants to learn to play the guitar, you know, and he walked in, I remember him looking at me, goes, would you want to learn to play that thing? And I was like, yeah.
So, was it because you wanted to sing or to write songs or be a lead guitarist?
I wanted to write songs. I was exactly it. I wanted to be a songwriter. Yeah. And I had witnessed my dad wrote a song for my mom and played it for her one day at a family event. And, I mean, the tears were... And I was like, that's pretty powerful.
You won some of that.
I want to learn how to do that.
You write some great songs, but Shiny Ribs is also known for some really surprising covers. I was on YouTube, I saw TLC covers, Jimi Hendrix. You cover Springsteen and Snoop Dogg in the same song.
Yeah. That was in Canada where I did that.
That was
something. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that you gravitate to artists who are very different from you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I got that from Johnny Cash. You know, he always talked about how a great song is a great song. It doesn't matter what style it is or anything. He said, if it's a good song, I want to learn it. And that had a big influence on me, that thought.
You know, Austin has this reputation for music, and it's well-earned and well-deserved. There's so much going on here. I wonder, as a musician, with so much music happening, is it a supportive environment? Like, is everybody looking out for each other, or is everybody just madly competing with each other?
Well, there's a lot of circles and a lot of cliques and a lot of, you know, I don't know everybody in the scene. People often ask me, you might know my brother. He plays music down there, and also he's a guitar player.
So is everybody else.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, yeah, it's a bit of a big crowd. So, you know, from my generation of bands, like Spoons from my generation, the Damnations, the Hickoids, you know, people like that. Yeah, Davy Jones. People from my generation I know real well, and it's always been a supportive scene of people. And I try to reach out to the younger artists when I hear them, ones that I like and I want to support, and I try to help them, like young Alejandro Garcia, Shaky Graves is his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard him early on. I thought he was great, and we had him open a couple of times, you know, and now we'd probably have to open for him.
Kevin Russell, everyone. Shiny Ribs. Well, Fred, I know you're so busy all the time. I got to ask, though, what's one new project you're really excited about?
Well, I recently had a dream come true. I'm hosting a game show.
Ooh, neat. What's the show called?
Wheel of Willard. Kind of like Wheel of Fortune, but all about me. I brought a clip from the only episode.
Oh, well, let's take a look.
Hi, everyone. Fred Willard here. Welcome to Wheel of Willard, the game where contestants test their knowledge of me by finishing phrases I've said at some point in my life. Let's meet today's contestants. Say hello to John.
Hi, Fred. I'm really excited to be here. I'm a big fan. Big fan. Like, really big.
That's great. It's nice to feel needed. I think you'll do very well. Moving on to our next guest, put your hands together for Todd.
I'm sorry, what's the name of this show?
You're on Wheel of Willard. I'm Fred Willard.
Oh, there's been some kind of mistake. I thought this was Wheel of Fortune. I signed up to be on Wheel of Fortune.
This game is a lot like Wheel of Fortune, except instead of guessing phrases that could have been said by anyone, you try to guess phrases said by me, Fred Willard.
But I'm Wheel of Fortune. I've been practicing for years. It's my dream. What is going on here, Fred Willard?
Let me ask the questions, pal. And don't forget, players, you're playing for the grand prize, the chance to be my new best friend.
Oh, man, I want that real bad. I want it bad.
What?
Great prize. I'm very lonely. First category, lines I've said in movies. Todd, you're up.
Okay.
500, that's a big number.
Is there a B?
Oh, I'm sorry, no B. John, your turn. And remember, my soul has grown desolate. It needs the sweet breath of a true friend in order to blossom.
I won't let you down, Fred Willard.
2,000.
Is there a T?
There is.
I'd like to solve the puzzle. The phrase is, strike it?
That's right.
Well, all right.
How did you know that? There's nothing special about that line.
Nothing special. It's a classic. Waiting for Guffman. Fred's character, Ron Albertson, says it after he auditions for Corky. It sets up the entire movie. Right, Fred?
I like you, John. Todd, you're up. Next category, phrases I've said to myself while by myself in a soundproof room.
Oh, that's impossible.
So is my never-ending quest for meaningful connections. I'm Fred Willard. Spin. 200.
These numbers seem completely arbitrary. Is there a C?
No. What? A C? No, you're letting me down, Todd. I'm thirsty. I need the canteen of friendship.
My turn.
1,000,000 points.
What?
Is there a W?
There is one W. Any guesses?
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Oh, shut up, you dumb head. How could you possibly be ready to solve it?
The answer is, I wish every sandwich had pastrami on it.
That's correct.
It's too easy, man.
Guilty as charged. John, I feel like you hopped on the friendship train and chugged all the way to Fredtown. Final category, things I've said between ages 10 and 45.
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Go ahead. It's a long one.
Hey, honey, I'm going down to the grocery store. Should I pick up some bananas? It looks like we're out of bananas. Unless you count those old bananas, but they're about to go bad. I'll get some new bananas.
You did it!
Woo! All right!
Oh, you're my new best friend. Oh, John, we're going to have the best times together. And Todd, we have a lovely parting gift for you. You are also my new best friend. And we'll all live in an apartment together forever. That's all the time we have for this week. This is Fred Willard. Bye-bye.
Fred as Fred, Kevin Russell and me as contestants. We have some wonderful music this week. Joining us, a singer-songwriter from right here in Austin who's released several albums over the years, the most recent being Give Me All You Got. She's a fiddle player and or a violinist. Austin, please welcome your own Carrie Rodriguez.
Devil in my let you own this town. And I can't see why you're trouble when the sun goes down. Trouble when the sun goes down. So come on, come on, whisper in my ear. Give me one more sip of that Baltimore lady. Let's get on out of here. Let's get on out of here. Devil in mind, devil in mind. Everybody got a little devil in mind. Devil in mind, stealing you blind. Everybody got a little devil in your breath. They never dance till the sun come up, and it's scaring me half to death. Yeah, it's scaring me half to death. So come on, come on, who just closed the door? Give me one more sip of that Baltimore. Give me one more sip of that Baltimore. Give me one more sip of that Baltimore lady. Let's get out on the floor. Let's get out on the floor. Devil in mind, devil in mind. Everybody got a little devil in mind. Devil in mind, steal a new blind. Everybody got a little devil in
Kerry Rodriguez with Luke Jacobs. Kerry Rodriguez, welcome to WITS.
Thank you.
Here's what I need to know. What's the difference between a violin and a fiddle?
Okay, fiddle's got strings.
And a violin has strings?
Yes.
Okay.
Very correct.
You started training in classical music when you were younger and then switched over to contemporary, right?
I did, yeah.
Why was that?
Well, you know, I was on a track to be, I guess, in a symphony or a teacher or something like that. Mm. And my freshman year of college, I was at a conservatory up in Ohio, actually, Oberlin. And I found myself spending a lot of time in the dorm room playing along to Willie Nelson records instead of practicing the Tchaikovsky in my practice rooms like I was supposed to do. It was a sign.
That sounds like an Austin girl missing home right there.
Well, yes, yeah. Yes, I was. It took me leaving Texas to realize how much I really valued the music and missed it and wanted to just make my living being a part of music that is made here. So.
And you grew up in a very creative home, I understand. Your mother is an artist, right?
She is. She's a wonderful painter.
What did that do? You went into music instead, but what's that like growing up in a home like that?
My mother, her paintings are very eclectic and beautiful oil paintings, but you know, many of them there were big, you know, nudes of 8-month pregnant women in the house, or so having friends over was different, you know. my mother also is a huge fan of music, all kinds of music, and she would paint all day long to masses, opera, or Janis Joplin, Joni Mitchell. So I really did grow up hearing great music at home. And also, I grew up thinking that being an artist was a normal thing to do and perfectly acceptable.
Which it is.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. So you're playing violin, and then you're playing fiddle, and you're playing this music. And when did you start adding singing to that?
Well, it wasn't until I'd finished college, and I got my first gig. My first gig was playing fiddle with a very well-known songwriter named Chip Taylor. And for those of you who don't know his name, you know his music. He wrote a song called Wild Thing, and Angel of the Morning, and then hundreds of other incredible songs. So Chip hired me to play fiddle in his band. He said, can you sing harmony with me? And I was very shy. I said, well, I'll try to sing a little bit. And pretty soon he had me singing duets, and we made a duet record the first year I toured with him. I was about 22.
Wow.
And then I never looked back.
How does your singing affect your violin playing and vice versa? Are those different parts of your brain, or is it the same thing?
They're very linked, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people said, wow, how could you just start singing? I mean, you know, because I went from zero singing to being a sort of professional, I suppose, making records and touring. But I think, you know, all those years, I started playing violin when I was 5, and it's just so connected, you know. I would always learn in the beginning with Suzuki Method, I learned by ear. So I would often sing myself the songs. And I think, yeah, when I finally opened my mouth for real, it wasn't that different.
Why is there so much music here, and it can't just be because Willie Nelson lives here? Like, what's the deal with Austin and music?
That's a good question. Well, we are creative people. I mean, Austin is quite different from the rest of Texas. Not to bash the rest of Texas, no. But it attracts a certain kind of person. For example, people like my mother, you know, moved here from Houston. Now my mom lives in Domes on the edge of town, and, you know, has a
little... Wait, what do you mean she lives in Domes on the edge of town?
She and her husband, Jim, live in a dome, kind of like a hobbit dwelling.
Okay.
Yeah. And they have a labyrinth in the front yard.
Sure.
Yeah, so all this to say, and this is typical behavior in Austin. So I think that kind of environment really does support creativity and musicians.
So the more people who move here, the more it enhances, like the more it...
It builds.
Yeah, it's a chain reaction.
Yes.
Until you get to the point where you say, oh, my mom lives in Domes, and a theater full of people just say, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, they do, too. I got one of those.
Oh, which domes? Oh, maybe
yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
Maybe I know which one. Kerry Rodriguez, everybody. And now, the Wits Game Show. How well-versed are you in the other person's oeuvre?
How well-versed are you in the other person's oeuvre?
Fred is an actor, comedian, improviser. Kevin and Carrie are musicians. So we're going to turn the tables on them and find out how well-versed they are in the other person's oeuvre. I will give Fred the name of a band reportedly or purportedly from Austin, Texas. He will have to tell me whether it's a real band or a fake band. Kevin and Carrie, I will give you the name of a comedy club somewhere in America. You have to tell me if it's real or if we just made it up. I will keep score. There will be no prizes.
Both tough categories.
Yes. All right, Fred Willard, you'll be first. Real or fake Austin band, Not in the Face. Audience, do not help.
That was a Dom DeLuise catchphrase. Please, nodding at a face. I'm going to have to go on a limb and say it's not a real Austin band.
I'm sorry, that is a real Austin band. Kevin and Carrie, in Seattle, Washington, the Laugh Hole. Real or fake comedy club?
No, I'm hoping no. No.
It's a real club, I'm sorry.
I was hoping no, too. You don't want to be booked there for 2 weeks.
Fred Willard.
Yes.
Ringo Death Star.
Oh, that sounds like a darn good title for a... Yeah, I would say it's a real group.
It is a real band, Fred Willard. Kevin and Carrie. Fat Daddies in Sioux Falls.
I'd say yes. Yes.
That is a real band, correct? Or that is a real comedy club, and more than likely a real band as well.
Yeah,
I have a suspicion that Fat Daddy has bounced a few checks on comedians.
I think it
I don't know why. Just you got to see Fat Daddy upstairs. Fat Daddy's not seeing anybody.
Until you bring 50 people into the club, you can't see Fat Daddy. Fred Willard, real or fake Austin band, Oh No, Oh My.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Yes, Oh No, Oh My. Yes.
It is a real band, correct, Fred Willard. Good grasp of the Austin alternative music scene. Yeah.
I can't imagine what name would not fit an Austin band. How far out would it have to be before they'd say no?
Okay, Kevin and Carrie, this is kind of an odd one. This is in Charlotte, North Carolina, the monkey enclosure, which is at the zoo and part of the real monkey enclosure where they sometimes have stand-up comedy.
Yes.
No, of course not.
Of course not, you say.
Of course not.
That would be silly.
Fred Willard, tell me if this is a real band from Austin, Texas, Swimming with Bears.
Why not?
They are a real band, but they're from San Antonio. I'm sorry.
How is Bears spelled? Is it B-E-X-A-R?
I don't make the rules.
Bears, it sounds like a Minnesota band.
It does.
Or from Alaska.
Alaska band, absolutely. Yes. Kevin and Carrie, Magoobie's Joke House in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes, sir.
You believe that is a real club?
I have no doubts.
You are correct. It is a real club.
I've been there.
You've been to Magoobie's and lived to tell. Fred Willard.
Yes, this is fun.
We're entering the final round here.
Oh.
The band is What Made Milwaukee Famous? Austin, Texas band, What Made Milwaukee Famous?
That's a tough one on a marquee. It's a Jerry Lee Lewis hit. I'm going to have to say maybe not. No. No, am I wrong?
Try again.
I think... By George, if I was starting a band, I would name it What Made Milwaukee Famous.
You're correct. It is a real band. All right, Kevin and Carrie.
Don't get nervous, because these clubs have funny names.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania's Comedy and Omelets.
Whoa.
No.
It is no. Kevin and Carrie are the winners of the game. Congratulations. More with Fred Willard, Shiny Ribs, and Carrie Rodriguez coming up. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with actor Fred Willard and music guests Shiny Ribs and Carrie Rodriguez. And Carrie, this is some music from a new project you're doing, right?
That's right. I'm calling the project my Sacred Heart Project, and it's my first bilingual album. I'll be recording in just a few weeks here in Austin. The album is inspired by music of the past, music of my family. I have a great aunt, her name was Eva Garza, and she was a fantastic singer of the Mexican style of music, ranchera music. So she was a big star in the 1940s and 50s. And, well, this song we're going to sing for you is in Spanish. It's called Frío en el Alma. That means cold in the soul. Just thought you needed to be lifted up here at Wits. We're going to do our best.
Perfect for a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
¿Acaso fue castigo de Dios que tú fueras así? Para nunca volver. Frío en el alma desde que tú te fuiste. Sombras y angustias sobre mi corazón, que loco empeño de revivir. Como una maldición, le he pedido a la Virgen que tú vuelvas, porque si tú no vuelves, me matará el dolor. Estás conmigo, ven a que llevo como una maldición. Le he pedido a la Virgen que tú vuelvas, porque si tú no vuelves, me matará el dolor. Porque si tú no vuelves, me matará.
Terry Rodriguez with Luke Jacobs. And now the Wits Lightning Round. Short questions, short answers. Fred Willard, your comedy hero growing up.
Danny Kaye.
Kevin Russell, your first favorite song.
I love you for sentimental reasons.
Terry Rodriguez, first album you owned.
The White Album, Beatles.
Fred, has being from Cleveland made you funnier?
Yes.
Terry, can one learn to have soul?
Yes.
Fred, you can pass down one word of advice to your 16-year-old self. What is it?
Persevere.
Kevin, how do you want to be remembered 200 years from now?
He was a man.
Fred, would you rather be able to, purely as a defense mechanism, shoot bees from your ears or shoot spiders from your nose?
Spiders from my nose.
Kevin, monster trucks or really sweet mopeds?
Monster truck.
Carrie, has The Devil Went Down to Georgia been good or bad for fiddle music?
Very bad.
Carrie, who won that fiddle contest? It was the devil, right?
Wrong. Oh.
Kevin, which member of the San Antonio Spurs would you most like to go camping with?
Oh, man, Tim Duncan. Big fundamental.
Fred, what book should all children read?
The Angry Red Planet.
Carrie, what instrument do you wish you could play?
The guitar.
I just watched you play the guitar. Kevin, is Austin sufficiently weird?
No.
Fred, is Kevin sufficiently weird?
Yes.
Carrie, has the presence of wits in Austin made Austin at least incrementally more weird?
A fractional percentage.
Fred, how about you and me learn to play guitar and start our own Austin performance duo?
We'll call ourselves the band that made Milwaukee famous.
All right.
Carrie, biggest zoo animal you could beat in a fight if it came right down to it?
Elephant.
Wow. Kevin, biggest zoo animal you could beat in a fight if it came right down to it?
Is a pig a zoo animal?
You sure. Fred, biggest zoo animal you could beat in a fight if it came right down to it?
An anteater.
And that's the Wits Lightning Round.
Oh, my goodness.
Bringing us more music, here is Shiny Ribs.
I'm going to tell you what I like. I'm going to tell you what I love. When it comes to tubers. And now that we've left root vegetable season, I'd like to give thanks to all the root vegetables that nourished us throughout the winter time. We'll be back. My lips are chapped, but they crack with flavor. It's a cold night for an alligator. Maybe I'm a lover, I'm not a hater. Lay down for me, sweet potato.
Potato. Ooh.
the floor. I didn't think I'd get back up. I thought I was going to have to apologize to John and Fred and say, sorry. The floor feels too good tonight. Shiny Rails can't get up. But the good people of Austin, Texas helped me get back on my feet. Thank you so much. Woo! I'll forever keep you in my heart. Keep you in my soul. All right. I guess I better finish the song now.
Want more Wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a Wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what our various Wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us. We're at Wits. Thanks to our friends Fred Willard, Carrie Rodriguez, who performed along with Luke Jacobs, and Shiny Ribs, which is Kevin Russell, Keith Langford, Jeff Brown, Winfield Cheek, Mark Wilson, and Tiger Anaya. Thanks also to our technical director, Corey Schreppel, our coordinating producer, Hans Buto, our intern, Autumn Burgraff, and the staff at the Paramount Theater in Austin, Pasquale De Villaggio, Terrence Ogden, Britton Parnell, Ethan Balmer, Lupe Perez, and John Stewart. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Jeff Drake, and Mike Fotis. Our music is by John Munson and The Witnesses. Thanks to our sponsor, KUT 90.5 and KUTX 98.9, especially Sylvia Carson, Stuart Vanderwelt, and Rick McNulty. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Our senior producer is Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe. Bye now.